1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Paris say they've made five more arrests, bringing the total to seven in the crown jewel heist at the Louvre Museum. CBS's Holly Williams is outside.
French prosecutors said there is no evidence so far that this was an inside job with an accomplice working here at the Louvre.
After a meeting with China's president in Asia, President Trump revealed he wants to revive U.S. nuclear weapons testing. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president said in a social media post that he wants to resume those tests on a, quote, equal basis with Russia and China. It would be a major shift since the U.S. hasn't carried out such tests since the early 1990s.
A Category 2 Hurricane Melissa now headed toward the Bahamas after unleashing deadly power and destruction on Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba. Jamaican Prime Minister Andrew Holness.
Many are still in shock. Some are very much anxious now about the future great uncertainty.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Tony Evers has announced Wisconsin will join a multi-state lawsuit seeking to force the U.S. Department of Agriculture to release contingency funding for food share benefits. Due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, SNAP programs across the country, including food share in Wisconsin, are expected to see delays with benefits for the month of November. Last week, the USDA issued a memo stating that $3 billion of that contingency funding could not be legally used to address administrative costs and benefit payments during the shutdown. Energy officials are reminding residents to get caught up on their utility bills or work out a payment plan with their provider before the winter heating moratorium begins. Starting Saturday, utility companies will be prohibited from disconnecting heating services for non-payment. They are not, however, required to restart services for residents who have fallen behind on their bills. Anyone with outstanding utility bills should contact their providers to make payment arrangements or apply for financial assistance before the winter moratorium begins. The Portage County Sheriff's Office is warning about a scam involving fake invoices that seem to be coming from Portage County government departments. The emails may reference departments such as the Portage County Planning Commission and even include real information from meeting agendas. They may contain instructions to pay fees for items such as application review and processing, zoning and compliance assessment, legal and administration, or public notification and documentation. These fake invoices instruct the recipient to pay fees to continue the approval process. The Portage County Sheriff's Office says that county government departments will never request money to be wire transferred and will make all applicants aware of required fees. If you've received a suspicious invoice like this, the Portage County Sheriff's Office would like to know about it. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Greg Gard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly, our low dropping to around 33. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Lake Wissota this morning. Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning. It is October 30th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Chad Holmes is standing by. We'll be hearing from Joe Zepecki this hour, Todd Alba, and Sean O'Malley talking about why the stock market's doing so well when everything else does not appear to be doing so well. Yeah, it's a bubble, unfortunately, and we're going to talk more about that in just a bit. In our last hour, we were talking about Medicare Advantage plans, and this on the text line from Jan in Oak Creek. Medicare Advantage wasn't put in place to help people on Medicare. It was established so that private insurance companies can make a profit off of recipients. It's part of a decades-long plan by Republicans to privatize all social services. They see a big pot of money and they want to get their hands on it. Might be some of the truest words spoken this week. And you can add your comments on the text line as well, either 855-75-CIVIC or use the Civic Media app to reach out to us and let us know what's on your mind. You can also send a voice note or record a voice note as well, if you prefer. Let's see. We've got also in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook over on YouTube from Rob. Good morning from Tigerton. The sun is coming up. It's 30 degrees. Going to mow up some leaves today. Yesterday had a doctor's appointment in Shawano. Still a little color on the trees in the city. Took a few pictures. He says around my area, Shawano, Anago, and Waupaca get pronounced wrong on the Weather Channel during severe weather season. True. Watching the World Series last night, weird to see Dodger Stadium emptying out by the eighth inning. Oh, they could be winning or losing, and people would be like, oh, you know, that L.A. traffic, you know, got to get going. He says if Toronto wins the World Series Friday night, they would have titles in all three in six games. So good for them. So, again, that's tomorrow after the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers last night. Let's turn over to somebody who's been covering more high school football than World Series, but the seasons, they are a-changing for Chad Holmes, and he joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. How are you, Mr. Holmes?
Very, very good. By the way, I have been to Dodger Stadium, and it is a wonderful place to watch a baseball game.
Is it? Okay.
It really was. A number of years ago, I went to a Dodger Brewer game back in the day. I actually lived in Hollywood for a year. I may not know that, but it was actually a very interesting, fun year. But
you can hear the brakes being put on this segment real quick here. I'm sorry, you lived in Hollywood for a year.
Literally walk out the door of my where I lived, the apartment, Look to the left down the road and see the Hollywood sign.
Wow.
It was, and I spent way too much money, and then I came back home a year later.
I was going to say, were you in any commercials, or were you played the part of a corpse on Law and Order, or anything?
I was on a game show.
You get out of here! Look at this stuff I'm learning over here. All right, again, put the needle across the record again. We got to stop what we're doing. There we go. Tell me more.
It was a game show named On the Cover. And it was a short-lived game show. It was on what was called the PAX Network. Remember the PAX Network?
No.
Okay, well, the PAX Network. But it was a fun little, it was a basically, it used magazine covers and used sort of questions on pop culture. And it was actually kind of a fun little show. It had two rounds. The first round, I swear my clicker wasn't working properly because clicking. And I fell way behind. But then I made a massive comeback in the second round. Ooh. I mean, I was way behind. I was in third place, and then I got to within one question of winning it, but the time ran out, and did not go to the bonus round. But it was interesting to do that.
Fascinating! Wow,
it was on TV, and it was kind of cool.
Things we learn. Wow, that's great. But as Rob notes on YouTube, Chad's getting ready for basketball now. I take that to mean your football coverage is over for a year?
Yeah, my football coverage ended last Friday. So now we get like two and a half weeks now. It's like 3 weeks from this past Tuesday will be our first basketball game. So get a chance. And actually, next week I'm back, but then I'm taking a week off. So it's like that I take a vacation one week in the summer to go off and play me some poker in Las Vegas, and then I take 1 week between football and winter sports, and I'm going to take a week off, and I'm looking forward to going down to the Chicago area. I'm probably going to play a little poker down there, but I'm actually planning on going to the United Center for the first time and see a hockey game actually there. So,
that would be nice. Yeah, I would love to see a hockey game there. Let's come to poker for a moment, and let's get to that big scandal from last week involving some NBA players and coaches and mob figures. And part of it was about, you know, the sports betting, but another big part of it was about these poker games, these illegal poker games where people think they're being invited. There's going to be, you know, a celebrity there, an NBA player or something like that, not realizing everybody else around the table is in on this and that there are ways that they're cheating to see your cards and get your money. Chad, the first time you heard this report last week, what'd you think?
I have never been involved in anything like that.
Well, no.
No, but I mean, it's like, I don't know some of the, I don't know the tricks. That's one thing that's what I've never been that deep into it. But the idea of these, I find it odd that we still have to have these illegal games because they're so, gambling has become so prevalent. And I guess with the poker, it's a little bit more difficult to find the games because, like, I don't really have anywhere I go around here, so I don't play very much outside of my little trips. But there's so much gambling going on. And one of the funniest aspects about that story was the next morning on ESPN, they're doing a rundown talking about Chauncey Billups being suspended and a couple players being involved. And in the corner, there's an ad for ESPN Bet.
Yes, of course.
It was so funny. First $10, you get to, you know, matching, whatever it is, you know, and it's like, but no, I mean, that part of the story is kind of beyond anything that I've experienced in the past.
So, I mean, yeah, so all of the, with the poker tables, I mean, now the whole way that poker got popular on television, you know, you get these little tiny pinhole TV cameras that can see the players' cards, you know, on TV, but of course all the other players can't see. But it turns out they all have like either earpieces or other ways of signaling, you know, what you're seeing on these cards. And it is just so it's both disturbing and also not surprising. You know, obviously there's always people trying to cheat other people, but I guess at one point there was like X-ray tables or something to read the cards.
I mean, just crazy. And how does Chauncey Billups get involved in this? That was my thing. Like you're the head basket. You're the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. You're an NBA legend, so you made money for many years in the league, and you're involved in. I mean, I can almost understand if you're somebody that just likes playing and may have got yourself in over your head in terms of gambling losses because you just can't help yourself. I mean, addiction, you know. But this is planned. This is. I don't understand his reasons behind it. It really blows my mind in a certain way,
especially when you consider they had NBA contracts. They were not, you know, applying for SNAP benefits and yet they always need that extra edge. It's not so much the need for the money but the need to gamble and win, that very competitive nature that drives them.
But it's cheating.
To
You're not competing, though.
That's just it. Yes. Yeah. I don't understand that part at all. And I wondered last week, and of course, in one of the rare cases where Parker was actually the grown up and I was the innocent, you know, youth, I was saying, I don't know, this might really, you know, put a nail in the coffin of, you know, like, you know, sports betting and all that. And Parker kind of patted me on the head. He's like, there, it's not going away. And it's not, I mean, it was a headline for a couple of days, and the betting sites, I thought they might take their commercials down. Nope. They're going like never before.
You know, in a big picture kind of way, scandal does not have the same punch it used to. Sure. I mean, you remember back in the days, whether it was Nixon or Iran-Contra, whatever it may be,
or the NCAA, you know, the things that would get you the quote unquote death penalty are now just another day under right. NIL deals.
I mean, the scandals are just a couple of days, and then we move on to the next thing. And then, I mean, our attention span as a society seems to have gone down to zero. And that's been concerning because, you know, we have a scandal of the day when it comes to our administration, and things that would have ended political careers in the past have not. And I think maybe in the same realm, things that would have ended sports careers are not doing the same as well.
And I don't know where that ends. If you no longer have shame, if you no longer have shock value, where does this end? And I hate to make a dark pivot to politics, but I will for a second here, that you hear about these couple of federal prosecutors who were just fired for using the words mob and riot to accurately describe January 6th. But they were talking yesterday about how public opinion polling shows that among many Republicans, their perception of the events of January 6th have flipped. You know, you had 70% plus believing that what happened on January 6th was wrong. Now that number is down to something like 30% believe that what happened on January 6th was wrong. And I have no easy way to say this is how we're going to retool, re-educate, remoralize Americans to recognize that there are things that are wrong. And even if you liked that person or supported that person, it's okay to be shocked and not want that, not to support that thing happening.
No, exactly right. And I mean, there's so many things that were considered norms that are not norms anymore. I mean, it was a norm where you didn't see a president blatantly profiting on his office.
Oh my goodness.
Where there would have been just an incredible.
Again, Jimmy Carter had to sell his farm. He had to sell his peanut farm. Because, you know, he would be ultimately in charge of agricultural policy, and you didn't want any appearance of a conflict of interest. And now, between the crypto scams and now this ballroom, which is just going to be one big thing for it ought to be named after Whirlpool for all the money laundering that's probably going to be going on as part of this thing.
Have you heard what the name of the ballroom has been proposed?
No,
by Trump?
What?
The Donald Trump ballroom.
Oh, yeah, shocking. But like we said a few days ago, in case folks missed it, any Democrat running for president simply has to make sure you include this in your campaign promise. That name is going to be changed instantly to either like the Barack Obama ballroom or something else, because eventually Trump and others will move on from the scene. And I always think of one of those Christmas animated specials, the one with the Burgermeister Meisterburger. And eventually, you know, the guys that tried to make all the toys illegal, they fade from the scene. Their paintings are taken down from the wall, and they're put into the ash can of history where they belong. And we will find, you know, other better names for these things, other better use for ourselves. But we have to get through this crisis first. And that's a tall order these days, but I still feel like we can do it.
Well, I hope you're right.
I hope so, too, because you know why? Because we need voices talking to other people who believe in these things like morality and normalcy again. And Chad Holmes is one of those folks. You can catch his updates on 98.9 WXCO or on the app or through WXCO.fm or the Civic Media website. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We're going to talk about the potential for a stock market bubble involving artificial intelligence with Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets, and still Joe Sapecki coming along as well. Live from the lake, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Check engine or ABS light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sponsored by Progressive. We make the claims process easy, so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
The coins we carry every day hold so much history. Have you ever wondered if they were worth more than face value? Gary's Coins and Stamps in Wisconsin Rapids is here for you with years of experience. The team can help you to discover the worth, help you find other treasure, or buy your unneeded coins, gold, and silver. Gary's Coins and Stamps, downtown Wisconsin Rapids, wants to wish everyone a frighteningly good time this Halloween.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI studios.
I've talked about this a couple times this week, and I want to bring note to it whenever we can. There is a chance that the Halloween you and I got to do when we were kids isn't around anymore.
Yeah, but it's really not.
As a society, we've kept Halloween going. We keep it a thing. We just found new ways to do it. We found new ways to adapt, to have events for kids to be able to go to that are safe and fun, like the Elks Lodge is hosting this Friday. I commend our community. I commend the society for that, because I think it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, because I think especially after COVID, a lot of that went away. You didn't want people knocking on your door during that time. And I think the trunk-or-treats that popped up were actually a very good thing because, you know, now we get a lot of people in a small group. Just think, just around us down there, downtown, we've got the police station that's doing it. We've got us that's doing it. I'm sure Boys and Girls Club is doing something.
Yeah.
So you've got three major things, and then usually they make their way up to the churches and the other organizations that are doing it. The rafters are doing a little bit later on in the day, so they can make their rounds and hit up all these spots. And they don't have to knock door to door to get candy, like we did back in the day.
It seems, you know, now that we're saying it out loud, I'm a little jealous, actually. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that happens.
Don't have to put on all the miles to get all the right stuff. Or know the right avenue where, hey, they've got the big candy bars.
We really knew street signs, too. We really knew where we were going. You know, what house was on what road and everything.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They had the big ones last year. We're going there again.
Yep. We know that you guys do a great job, for Thanksgiving. You've hosted a number of different events over the years over there for Thanksgiving. This year got a really special one lined up.
Yep. So last year we had done our inaugural community Thanksgiving. So it was the first year and we did about 125 people. I planned for about 150 to 200 people. So obviously we had a bunch of food left. And we were like, well, what do we do with that? Salvation Army is about the only pantry that you could take it to around that time of year prepared. But again, they're overrun with the same thing as everyone else. So we thought of this. One of our Elks officers and the sister of one of the Nacoosa City cops that works with us, and she was like, why don't we bring it to the law enforcement officers that are working? So we were able to drop off meals for the working officers on that day at Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, Wood County Jail and Dispatch, and Port Edwards as well. We did reach out to Grand Rapids, but none of those guys were in, so is what it is. So this year we've kind of set that bar a little higher. Costs are up just a little bit. They're not terrible. I've been watching it year-round since all this craziness in the world now. But fortunately, the costs haven't been terrible. They said turkey's up about 12%. But beyond that, everything else is looking pretty good. Some things have come down, actually. So we're putting this on Monday, November 24th this year, from 5 until 7 p.m. at the Lodge. It is an absolutely free meal to anyone in our community. Anyone. Doesn't matter what walk of life. Doesn't matter if you're in need. Doesn't matter if you're alone. Maybe you lost your spouse this year and you've got nowhere to go. Maybe you just don't feel like cooking. There's an option there. And it gives a second option, and why we did it so early in the week, because that's probably the biggest criticism. Well, why not on the day? Well, yes, one, I do like to spend time with my family on the day.
Yeah.
But that's not a guarantee. And two, the thought was this. If I do a meal earlier in the week, if there is someone out there that is in need of this meal, this gives them a second opportunity to go join another meal later in the week. So there was some thought process that went into this, and I think it's a great meal. We're going to have all the favorites. We're going to have oven-roasted turkey, honey-glazed ham, mashed potatoes, stage stuffing, gravy, green beans with baby carrots, pumpkin pie, and cranberry sauce. Mm. And everybody gets the same plate, and it's a great, great thing.
It's a really meaningful event. It's one of the more meaningful things that happens in November, I think. I appreciate so much that you do this. I appreciate that you and your team work so hard on this. When it comes to the event itself, getting all the supplies together, all of those things, is there anything we as a community can do to help with that?
So you can donate to that. I'm not asking for food. I'm asking for funds, because I do order it through my food vendors and get as best deal that I can. For me, that's easiest way to do it. We have had a lot of donors so far. Many people came in. We had a $500 anonymous donation, James. That
right
was
on.
Crazy to me. They came in, they handed me an envelope. I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's $100 or something which is great in itself. But they donated $500, chose to remain anonymous. Mm. So
that hits the heart. That's awesome.
And that paid for about roughly half of it, based off the funds we had left from last year after doing Breakfast with Santa and things with that. That all goes back into that fund. So if those funds are not used, we roll it into another community event. This was great. We are about $200 to $300 short of our current destination there. We've had some great donations from individuals and community members, as well as Elks and Sunrise Rotary as well. Mm. So we appreciate them donating to it. And again, we're looking to serve about 150 to 200 people, just like last year. Mm-hmm. And this time we want to do one better. Law enforcement deserves recognition, but also the EMTs and fire department workers that are doing that. I know a lot of the stations like to make their own meal and do all that themselves. But we'd like to offer that out to them as well this year as a way to get out to the community
and
give back to them.
Yeah, a great idea. And appreciate the thought. Appreciate that you guys think of that and everything. Couldn't agree with you more, man. So say people do want to add to that. They want to put into those funds. What's the best way to get in a hold of you? What's the best way of doing that?
Best way is to stop into the lodge and talk to me. I'm always there, usually, except for obviously right now. Stop on in, make a donation. And we'll get those funds up. I have a little thermometer that kind of tells us where we're at.
Oh, cool. I love those.
That I've been kind of doing that just in the lodge. I'll be sharing out another post later, because we've gotten to that point where now it's, let's get this stuff in so I can get it ordered and get everything set. We're looking good on plates. We're looking good on stuff like that. But also, we're going to need volunteers, people to help serve, clean down. Everything's on disposal bowls, except for maybe the silverware. We'll use real silverware that day. But beyond that, it's a real simple day, easy to help out, easy to be there. I've got about four volunteers currently, maybe five. So we'd be looking for a few more people. And again, if you just want to come out for the event, that's great as well.
Mm-hmm. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids School Board has approved the budget for the 2025-26 school year. Superintendent Ron Rasmussen said the preliminary budget was ready in June, but had to wait for the state budget to pass this summer.
In our district, we're about 35% to 40% funded by local tax dollars and the remaining generally from state aid. Unfortunately, in the state budget this year, the state aid was flat for schools, so a little bit of that shift did flow a little bit more on the local taxpayers.
Wisconsin Rapids is getting about $95,000 less in state aid this year, according to numbers released earlier this month from the State Department of Public Instruction. It's one of the 70% of school districts in the state facing a drop in state aid, and the district is facing a $3.5 million deficit next year as the referendum, which passed 5 years ago, ends. Residents will get a survey in November explaining the district's financial challenges.
In addition, we know we're a declining enrollment district and looking at our facilities and how we can look at possible consolidation of facilities or possibly upgrading a few facilities so we can close other facilities.
Since 1999, the district has seen a fairly continuous decline in pre-K through 12 enrollment. The addition of a district-wide 4K program bumped the enrollment for two consecutive years in the early 2000s before continuing to decline. In the past 5 years, the enrollment numbers at Central Oak Academy Charter School have declined the most, while Rams and Howe have increased slightly. The survey explains what the impact would be for taxpayers if the district were to attempt another referendum.
The community survey is really laying out trying to get some opinions, really planning our future for the district for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
The survey will be sent out to every household in the district next week, and it'll be due by November 24th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Heller High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park. Maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly, our low dropping to around 33. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, immigrants seeking naturalization as U.S. citizens will now need to answer twice as many questions correctly as before the Trump administration. Can I pass it? Find out. Join us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
All right, Joe Specky is standing by on this Thursday morning. It's 8:35. First, a little bit more with Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and we're going to talk about the bubble in AI. But Sean, before we wrap things up here, I gotta sound kind of sort of whiny here. This is new from the Associated Press. President Trump says he's made a deal with China's President Xi, and that China has agreed to purchase 25 million metric tons of soybeans annually for the next 3 years. Allow me to editorialize for a moment. No, 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 no. This happens every time where Trump says we have a deal. We have concepts of a plan. Last time around, in his first term, he also did this. He also said China was going to go back to buying soybeans, and they didn't. Right away. It took a while for China to come back in, and yet everybody reads the headline, Sean, and we're not going to look at the reality. This is once again Trump saying he has a deal without an actual deal in place.
He's got a history of doing stuff like this. He wants to paint a very rosy picture because that reflects well on him, he believes. Unfortunately, until it's actually signed and done, I wouldn't say that you have any semblance of a deal, particularly since the standard purchases that China makes per year have been replaced by Brazil and Argentina. So unless they're going to be increasing their purchases of soybeans, their soybean purchases are already locked in for this year.
Dear national media, you've learned nothing. At least put in the word claims. Trump claims to have a deal, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's set that aside. Yep. That's the breaking news there. Now, we were speaking a little bit ago about what seems to really be becoming an AI bubble in the stock market. Is there anything that, you know, your typical investor should know or do, like stay away from, or do we need to when you see what appears to be a bubble, do you start hedging ahead of time, or what do you advise?
Yeah, you should start to hedge ahead of time. That's why I made that statement right after coming back from Europe a couple of weeks ago. That is still my statement. It's what I'm doing personally. I'm advising others to do it. But let's just put it into perspective for 1 second, okay? So these are facts, okay? This isn't, you know, the real question is whether AI is going to live up to the hype, yes or no. But right now, the valuation, the AI bubble is 17 times the size of the dot-com bubble, 17, and 4 times the size of the real estate bubble from 2008, which caused, of course, the financial crisis. So if it pays off, great, but that is a lot of risk, and that is a lot of exposure, and that is a lot of concentration, and do you really want to roll the dice?
And by the way, even if it is that successful, we just went over all the layoff numbers. It is coming at such a price in terms of labor, and we do not have the policies in place to make sure that all these Americans who are losing their jobs because of essentially automation can either find new work or have, you know, the proper safety net to say, hey, it's great. The robots mean we don't have to work so much anymore, but let's make sure we can afford groceries. So, I mean, there's a lot that has to be processed. We didn't get it right with NAFTA. And we risk not getting it right with AI as well. He said whining, you know.
Yeah, true. But I mean, the real issue is that you're looking at the possibility that, you know, especially with this administration being so, you know, pro deregulation, there is going to be no safety net. It's going to be laissez-faire, and you've got to watch out for yourself because that is the attitude of this government.
All right. I've gobbled up too much time for us to get to the trade deficit and the national debt. We're going to get to both of those next week as well with Sean O'Malley. Sean, thank you so much for all the expertise. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pat. Have a great
day. Yep, you as well. All right, let's bring in Joe Specky for the rest of the hour here, and Todd Alba will be joining us along the way as well. Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Other than whiny.
Well, you see these things, and it's like, again, why? Why aren't we learning? This guy does have a track record, you know? I just feel like that's not being said nearly enough. Anyway, let me put Parker Olson, our fine producer, on notice. Parker, if you've got that sound clip from Congressman Derek Van Orden that we played just a little after 6 a.m., I want to play it again because I think that, I mean, Congressman Van Orden has said some things over the past couple of days. Again, trying to sound moderate. It's not really working. He is what he is. And so we came upon this clip from last December. Okay. Donald Trump had been elected, was going to serve a second term as president. Republicans were going to take the Senate and the House. And so maybe they were going to end the dysfunction in passing a budget. And here's what he had to say on one radio show.
When we have unified government, I'll be very clear about this. When we have unified government, if we cannot get our 12 appropriations bills through in a budget, then we don't deserve to be in the majority any longer. We don't. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything. And I'll take the paint off anybody that is talking smack about these sorts of things. That includes members of my own party. So a lot of the reasons you got to understand that we didn't get a lot of things done was because of members of the Republican Party. Some of our far right guys held things up in the Rules Committee. They voted against rules if the rule passed, and they prevented a lot of these measures getting through. So that's true. The other side of the coin is anything we do has to get through the Senate, which was controlled by Chuck Schumer. It still is until we get through January. So I'll say that again real clear. When we have unified government, if we can't get our 12 appropriations bills through and a budget passed, then we do not deserve to be in the majority, period.
I'm Becca Cook, and I approve this message. I'm Emily Berge. I approve this message. I'm State Party Chair Devin Remiker, and I approve this message. And Joe, every word he said is true.
Yeah, I could not have said it any better myself, and I don't want to talk any smack or DVO is going to tear the paint off me, whatever that means. So well said, Congressman. We agree on something.
Yeah, so that's where we stand. We don't have to dwell too much on the shutdown, other than the whole notion of, let's again clarify, the cut in SNAP benefits, the cutoff is not necessary. It's never been done in a shutoff, and there are literally billions of dollars in a contingency fund expressly for this purpose of making sure families don't go hungry. And the Trump administration says, oh, no, we can't touch that. Joe, the cruelty is the point.
It is a choice that they are making, and families will go hungry, including some military families, which is unconscionable at any time, at any moment. And it's the choice that Republicans are making, because they would rather you pay more for health care next year than actually get to work and actually pass appropriations bills.
Yeah, there is some talk that there's a little chatter behind the scenes, maybe even involving Senator Tammy Baldwin to get some of these appropriations bills passed. And, you know, that has me a little concerned, Joe, because on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, they're talking about how there's cracks in the unity. And I know we don't want this to go on forever, but I do worry that once again, we're going to get a case of Lucy and Charlie Brown and the football, where they reach a deal to pass some appropriations bills, and that down the road we will resolve, you know, X, Y, and Z. But that would involve a level of trust, Joe, that is just not there in Washington anymore.
No, it's not. But I am as optimistic as I have been since this government shutdown that they're going to get this right. And here's why. Americans are procrastinators. We are. It's not just the college kids. And a lot of consumers in the affordable healthcare marketplace have not availed themselves of the window shopping period. They do not yet know just how much these healthcare costs are going up. And when you look at the history of the Affordable Care Act, what we have seen is that the growth, particularly in the last 5 years, has largely been in red states, in smaller communities that tend to vote Republican. It is Republican constituents who are going to have sticker shock starting Saturday when the open enrollment period begins. And they will not be happy. Their congresspeople will hear from them. And I think that will create the space for a deal to happen, hopefully very quickly. We cannot go a week without SNAP benefits available to people. And Republicans don't want to go a week or 2 weeks with their constituents mad as hell about what they're going to be forced to pay for health care next week.
I hope so. I was a little concerned by this one stat from the Marquette poll yesterday. Among Republicans, 2 out of 3, 67%, say the credits for health insurance should expire, while, of course, 89% of Democrats and 54% of independents want the credits to be continued. Joe, I feel like either that 67% of Republicans that say the credits should go away either haven't shopped yet or are, I guess, somehow kidding themselves that in the end they won't have to pay these higher premiums. And like you said, they're in for a rude awakening.
And what they also, what folks who are not on Obamacare plans tend to forget is that we end up paying for it when fewer people have health insurance coverage. Yeah. Because the hospitals and the big drug companies and all the CEOs, they're not going to take a haircut on this stuff. So it's going to mean that we pay more if we happen to have employer-sponsored coverage or a part of a group plan. And so this is a, you know, healthcare is, I think, the fifth largest component of the United States economy. This is going to have aftershocks across the board if they don't get it fixed.
Political strategist Joe Zepecki is joining us on this Thursday morning. Todd Albo will be along before too long as well. Now, again, my usual disclaimer on the Marquette poll or any polling, we don't get too deep into it, especially on the horse race stuff. But it was intriguing to see some of the positions on various issues. Let me skip. I was going to do the governor one. Let me do the one that encourages me the most right now. Name recognition is still not high between the two announced candidates, appeals court judges Chris Taylor and Maria Lazar. However, despite the lack of knowledge about the race, 7 out of 10 registered voters said they are absolutely certain to vote in April when there will be a Supreme Court race on the ballot. That is a level of civic engagement, Joe, that makes me very happy to live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, most states never see that amount of interest, even the week before an election. And yeah. So I was not surprised by how little known these candidates are. Mass communication is a thing. There's a reason that campaigns have to raise all these resources to spend talking to voters. That will come, and it will come very soon. For now, enjoy the lull when you don't have campaign commercials on your TVs and your screens as you're watching your stories.
Yes. Now, as for the gubernatorial field on the Democratic side, and I say this completely tongue-in-cheek, I love Francesca Hong, but of course, how do you not have a subject line in an email that says, I'm number one in the polling for governor? Now, here's where that polling is. She's at 8%. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, 4%. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley and State Senator Kelda Royce, 3%. Missy Hughes at 2%. Undecided, 81%. So, yes, you can be in first place with 81%. Or you can be in first place with 6%, as Fran Hong is. That other 81% is going to take some time before they weigh in.
The other part of this is that in the Democratic primary ballot test, the margin of error was 6.8 or 6.9%. So,
which is everybody.
Nobody's outside of the margin of error of even having support at all.
Yes. So, again, that's the magic of polling. But what you did get is obviously the candidates from Madison and Milwaukee are better known than other candidates. Similar numbers you see on the Republican side as well. But I was very encouraged, again, like I said, to see the level of civic engagement. People understand that these races are big deals and that the August primary is going to be so important next year. We'll continue this conversation in just a bit. We'll be joined by Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show as we wrap things up from Lake Wissota for a Thursday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ooh. Halloween is creeping up fast. Don't let the holidays scare you from having a party. Drive down to Wisconsin's last true dime store. Beaver's Dime Store in Nakusa has everything you will need for this great holiday. From old-fashioned candy to household decorations and gear to stay warm while trick-or-treating. Let Beaver's Dime Store take the horror out of holiday parties and put the fun back into time with family and friends. Have a spooky Halloween from everyone at Beaver's Dime Store in Nakusa.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClearyBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read them by the poker face. Deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We got one more note off the text line before I forget here. We did get a note from Joe in Superior about our segment earlier on Medicare Advantage plans, saying the American healthcare system and understanding Medicare choices is such a cluster. It's little wonder people throw up their hands and simply take the Medicare disadvantage plan sales pitch, which makes it very simple to sign up. And yeah, that's we talked about all the commercials for Medicare Advantage plans. And now more than half of seniors who qualify for Medicare, more than half are on Medicare Advantage plans, not because they're so great, but because they see all these TV commercials, whereas original Medicare, that's a government program. The government can't run that many TV ads compared to the money insurance companies have. And so again, the main thrust of our segment this morning was to look very carefully and don't just pick something because, you know, Joe Namath or JJ Walker from Good Times runs a commercial telling you to buy a Medicare Advantage plan. So, all right, having that out of the way, we welcome in Todd Allbutt to the discussion. Todd reporting from outside, and the clouds are dark back there. They're not palm trees, and so I know he's not waiting for Hurricane Melissa, but it's a little gloomy where you are out there. Thank God you're there brightening things up.
Thank you, Pat. I am feeling dynamite. That's all I am.
J.J. Walker reference.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I'm here on the near west side of Matt. I thought we could enjoy a little fall weather out here. Beautiful time of year. Yeah.
Well, you got
a little coffee in hand.
You got a hand warmer in the form of the coffee mug.
Yes.
Nice. Todd, I was just going to ask Joe about something that you and I discussed on your program yesterday, and that was Senator Tammy Baldwin's announcement yesterday of endorsing Rebecca Cook in the 3rd Congressional District primary, which, again, is still almost a year away. And you and I talked about the strategic advantages or disadvantages of a U.S. senator making a declaration already. I believe the word you used was coronation. So let me get Joe Zepecki's thoughts on this first, and then we'll see. Joe, I'll put it pretty bluntly. Why would Senator Tammy Baldwin make an endorsement in any congressional district race at this early stage?
I don't know. If I was a United States senator, I would not. My speculation is that given that some of Senator Baldwin's colleagues, like Bernie Sanders, have already endorsed Rebecca Cook, that she felt like she needed to, you know, do that to give a colleague some cover. I don't know. I tend to think that primaries are a good thing. And, you know, listen, the fundraising disparity, certainly Rebecca Cook has a big advantage going into next year. And I can understand an argument that we want to marshal resources to focus on Mr. Van Orden. But, you know, I think primaries are a good thing. They're healthy. And, you know, but Tammy Baldwin's an awfully smart politician who's done very well in this state. So who am I to question her?
No, and I can definitely be accused of overthinking this. But what I said to Todd on his show was, I think that Senator Baldwin looked at that there are divisions in the among Democrats in the 3rd Congressional District. And this was her way of saying, not so much that this was had anything to do with Emily Berge or the people that support her, but to say, we need to be united now. We don't have the luxury of waiting until August 12th of next year. Otherwise, Derek Van Orden is going to walk into this again. Todd, now that you've had a night to reflect on it, to what degree does it still constitute meddling or coronation as opposed to something more strategic on her part?
Well, I would just agree with what Joe just said, which is Tammy Baldwin. I mean, on another show, Joe, you talk about this. I think Tammy Baldwin, along with Tony Evers, are one of the few undefeated politicians in the state. So, yeah, she's pretty darn smart, a lot smarter than I am. I come at this with a guy who lost two Republican primaries for the Assembly. So, yeah, maybe I'm a little salty about it. And also, I pointed out the show yesterday, you know, and Joe knows this, when Tammy ran in the what was it, 5 or 6 way primary in 1998, she was not the favorite to win in a pretty rural 2nd congressional district. It was Joe Winicky, a more centrist Democrat state senator. So she benefited from a primary. I guess with Joe, I just like primaries. I think it you find out who the strong person is, and I think that maybe last time around the 3rd district, Mark Pilkin endorsing Katrina Shanklin, who I like a lot, is a very smart politician. But I think you found out in the primary, Rebecca Cook was the better primary campaigner. And so I think that campaigns, primaries tend to do that.
Okay. I'm giving this short shrift, and I completely acknowledge it. We have not talked very much about Governor Evers versus legislative Republicans on the prison overhaul program. Joe, we'll try to give it more time later, but in the very short time that we have here, is this just another case of legislative Republicans just trying to get in the way of whatever Governor Evers is trying to do, or is there a genuine need for bipartisan negotiation on this issue?
I think there has been bipartisanship on the prison closure issue, and there needs to continue to be. One of the hard things about, let's use the military base closing commissions, the BRAC commissions. Yeah. When there are parochial local issues in a statewide system like the Department of Corrections, individual legislators are going to be focused on their community and not the big picture. Yeah. The idea that before we have even brought in outside experts, the consultants who can look at the whole state, look at the whole picture and the whole system and make recommendations about what is the best path forward, that even before that happens, we're going to have individual legislators, you know, talking only about their own slice of the system doesn't make sense to me. So this is fighting for fighting's sake before we've even got to the main event. Let's let the undercard sift through this thing with outside experts. That's what the $15 million is for.
Under 30 seconds, Todd, you want to add any insight on this prison overhaul debate?
I agree largely with Joe. I think it's something that's been ongoing in this state. It should have been taken care of administrations ago, and I give Evers credit for pushing it through.
There you go. Finally, on the text line from Jim in Brookfield, always good to see Todd Alba on the morning program, apparently looking to expand his role to be a Weather Channel reporter. So I love that. Yeah.
Jim Santori of Civic Media.
Jim Cantori.
Hang on.
Hang on to that lamppost there, Todd. You'll be okay. All right. Todd Alba, Joseph Peck, you guys, thank you both so much. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. By the way, Todd's going to have Chuck Collins on from Patriotic Millionaires at 2:30 this afternoon. I'm Pat Kreitler from Up North News. Have a great day. We'll see you Friday morning, bright and early here up north.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Bringing the total to 7 in the crown jewel heist at the Louvre Museum. CBS's Holly Williams is outside.
French prosecutors said there is no evidence so far that this was an inside job with an accomplice working here at the Louvre.
After a meeting with China's president in Asia, President Trump revealed he wants to revive U.S. nuclear weapons testing. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president said in a social media post that he wants to resume those tests on a, quote, equal basis with Russia and China. It would be a major shift since the U.S. hasn't carried out such tests since the early 1990s.
A Category 2 Hurricane Melissa now headed toward the Bahamas after unleashing deadly power and destruction on Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba. Jamaican Prime Minister Andrew Holness.
Many are still in shock. Some are very much anxious now about the future, great uncertainty.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.